And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. And I would invite you, if you brought your own Bible or if you want to use the Bibles in the pews, but you may want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. And this evening we're looking at chapter 6, which was the gospel reading a few moments ago that Mr. Whitney shared with us. But I'd like us to focus in on verses 5 through 7 of Matthew chapter 6. And I will read it, and if you happen to have a Bible open and want to follow along, that'll be great. But we hear again these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it awesome that Jesus teaches us how to pray? And that's really the theme of our Lenten series, is Lord, teach us to pray. And so this evening we hear these words from Jesus. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, when we initially hear that, you may think, well, wow, what's Jesus talking about here? Because here we are in the modern synagogue. I mean, the synagogue then was a room, a sanctuary, a place where God's people gathered. And they gathered to worship, they gathered to hear the word of God, and they gathered to pray, didn't they? To pray together in a public room like a synagogue. And yet, it would appear as though Jesus is saying there's something wrong with that. But that's not the case at all. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, the Lord commands us and encourages us to assemble together, doesn't he? In fact, he warns us about not assembling together, that we should come together as God's people on a regular basis. We need one another. We need this fellowship with each other and to collectively gather together to worship God. So the issue, as Jesus always addresses, is the issue of the heart. And so if we come to worship or stand on the street corner and it's like, hey, does everybody notice me? Are they admiring me because I appear to be so holy in what I am doing? Then that's certainly the wrong motivation, isn't it? It's not a motivation of being focused upon God. And I love it that our little ones, they know what prayer is. Boy, they just belt it out, just talking to God. And that is so comforting to, and God bless you parents for bringing your little ones up in the faith, that they can know at this early age that they can have a direct line to God. I liked how you said that, Angela, that we can go directly to God and speak to him and know that he hears us. And it's from the heart. It's the motivation. The Lord knows what is in our heart and the motivation behind our praying to him. And so tonight, the theme is alone with God. And it's based upon what Jesus says about prayer. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so there are times by our Lord's directive and encouragement that he desires that we would be alone with him. And you know, when you think about that, how precious it is that we can be alone with God. And you know, in reality, we're all alone in a number of ways, even when we're with other people as we are tonight. because we are individuals. And only you and God knows what your thoughts are at this very moment. Only you and God knows what's in your heart at this very moment. And so the way that God has created us, there's a very individual part about us, and in that we are alone. In fact, before we were even a thought in the wind to our parents, God already knew us. And he didn't know just about us, but he knew already what our name would be, what we would be called. He knew every detail of our lives before we were ever created in our mother's womb. And then that marvelous day came when we were blessed to have our life begin in our mother's womb. And what was God doing there? But we hear in Psalm 139, there God was knitting your body and my body, your life and my life, together to be the unique individuals that each of us are. And to think that God would be that interested in your individual life, in my individual life, that he would create you and me individually. There's no other person that is identical to you or me on the face of the earth. We are unique by God's creation. And that is really awesome. But in that, there's a sense of being alone in that. Later on, what does Jesus say? He even knows the number of hairs on our head. Now, Mr. Whitney, if we worked really hard, no, you got quite a bit of hair there, Larry. It'd be hard to count that. But that's something even the Lord knows about you and about me that we don't even know, the actual exact number of hairs on our head. But that's how intimately involved God is in your life and in mine, and how individual we are to him. And so there are times when it's really important that we can be blessed to be alone with God. And that's kind of hard in the busyness and the distractions of life. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But to actually just have those opportunities to be just you and God in communication with one another. Do you think that was important to Jesus? Remember the number of times that Jesus would go off by himself? And where did he go? But, you know, to be alone with God, it's good to strategize a place where you can do that. Remember the movie War Room? And we even showed that here in the sanctuary a couple years ago when that movie came out. One of the best movies I've ever seen on prayer. But it was about this woman who had a closet in her house, and all the clothes and everything else was moved out of that closet. It was just an empty, small room, but that was her war room, meaning her prayer room. And that's where she would go alone to be with God and to pray to him. And that really brought out what Jesus is speaking of in this text before us, to be alone with God. But Jesus, remember, he liked to go up in the mountain. He liked to go in the garden, a couple places where he could be alone in the midst of so often being around so many people seeking after him. Peter in the book of Acts, where did Peter go to pray when he wanted to be alone? But we hear of an account where he went up on his roof, the roof of his house. Now, probably wouldn't recommend that for us. It was a little different style of buildings and a different culture of the day. Because there in the heat of that region of the world, the roofs were flat and people would even sleep on their roofs at night because it was cool. It was above the hot ground. And it was a quiet, secluded, safe place. And so we hear in Acts that Peter went up on the roof of his house to be alone with God and to pray. Do you know that George Washington had a place where he went to pray, to be alone with God? At Valley Forge, there was a grove of trees, and a special part of that grove where he loved to go just to be by himself, alone with God, in order to pray. And so it's good for you and me as well to strategize and figure out where's an awesome place that we can be to have that time just between you and God, between me and God in prayer. And what an opportunity, what a blessing. The Lord invites us to speak to Him. Now, every one of us has things about our lives that we wouldn't want to broadcast to the world, that we wouldn't want to announce to everybody in the room here this evening. There are things in your life and in my life that probably only you know apart from God. And maybe some of those things are things we'd be greatly ashamed of. I know sometimes, you know, I've used the illustration, wonder if we walked in and every sin we've committed was scrolling on the screen with our picture there. Boy, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? But you know, nothing is hidden from God, right? He knows all the secret things, as Jesus informs us here this evening. Our Heavenly Father, there's nothing that is hidden from Him. He knows everything about you, and He knows everything about me. We are totally exposed before God. Remember Adam and Eve, and we're going to go into that text on Sunday, the fall into sin, Genesis 3. But remember after they fell into sin, they tried to cover their shame and they tried to hide from God. And then when none of that worked, they tried to transfer their sin onto one another and even onto Satan. And none of that worked, but it showed the sheer terror of Adam and Eve standing before their righteous God and knowing that God knew everything that they had done. He knew their hearts and minds. Well, we are blessed, and the cross on our foreheads this evening, very visible, certainly reminding us of baptism, reminding us that we are forgiven, reminding us that we are God's children. And so we have our compassionate Heavenly Father who knows everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And He still welcomes us into this private space to be alone with Him and to confide in Him. And what's wonderful about our Heavenly Father is He is absolutely trustworthy, and He is very compassionate beyond what we can even fully understand. And He doesn't need to hear what we have to share. He already knows. Even before we speak the words, He knows everything. But we have the need to be able to verbalize to God those deep-bedded things in our hearts and minds that we may not ever share with anyone else. But there's God with open arms, willing to listen, willing to hear. He wants us to pour those things out to Him. And we are so blessed to have that opportunity. And we need not fear. Why? Because this very Jesus who teaches us how to pray came for that very purpose, to deliver us. Did you hear it in the epistle reading this evening? It's one of my favorite all-time passages in Scripture. But God made Him, meaning Jesus, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become what? Heirs of His righteousness, right? Yeah. So Jesus has taken all the garbage of our sin already. He's already paid the price. It's already been taken care of. He has released that burden from us. We are forgiven. And we are empowered then to go forth and to live in this marvelous faith, and most of all, to be confident as we come to God in prayer. But I think in the busyness of life and all the distractions, it's probably very difficult for us. And by the way, leave your cell phones out of the room too. Turn them off. There's nothing that's going to be such a great emergency that you can't get to it a few minutes later while you're in that quiet time on a regular basis with your Heavenly Father, in that quiet room, alone with God. Well, in conclusion, a great man of prayer was Martin Luther. And he writes many times about prayer. And I'd like to close by sharing an article that Luther wrote about his personal journey in prayer. Though I be a sinner and unworthy, still I have here God's command, which commands me to pray, and his promise that he will mercifully hear me, not on account of my worthiness, but for the sake of the Lord Christ. With this trust, you can put away all thoughts and doubts and kneel down cheerfully and pray, not regarding your worthiness or unworthiness, but your trouble and his word, in which he commands you to put confidence. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, as you came in this evening, you may have noticed the offering plates on the chairs, and so that's where the offering will be received, so we won't have a formal offering time in the service. And if you have not done that yet, expecting that, you're more than welcome, if you so desire, to leave an offering there before you leave. But at this time, I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And we continue with the Kyrie on page 233.